I was not trying to get opens based on that black hat practice of a re in a subject line, prompting people to open because they think you're in the middle of a conversation with them. I hate that practice. It's so dishonest. I was just playing with the idea of these endless email chains, and the preview text very clearly showed that.
Welcome to Email Swipes, where we peek behind the scenes at the emails that catch your attention and earn their place in your swipe file. Every other week, we'll talk to an email expert about an experiment they ran, and in the following episode, we'll dive into the strategies and methods used in the email so you can inform and inspire your own email work. I'm Nikki Elvas, the copywriter behind winning emails for 8- and 9-figure SaaS and e-commerce brands like Shopify, Four Sigmatic, and Sprout Social. And I know that hearing the background stories to these emails will help you turn pie-in-the-sky insights into plug-and-play actions. Ready to make inspiration tactical? Let's go. First, let's read today's email.
Nikki, I'm really excited to welcome you to Doodle Premium Pro. I used to dread getting emails with a bunch of re's in the subject line. Meetings are bad enough. We schedule too many, invite too many cooks, squeeze in too many agendas, or worse, don't set an agenda. But scheduling a simple meeting is even worse. Endless rounds of emails that stuff our inboxes, distract us from our jobs, confuse meeting guests, or worse, annoy meeting guests. Unless you schedule your meetings with Doodle Pro. With Doodle Pro, in a couple of clicks, you can instantly share availability, find the best time to meet, and send reminders, or not, your call. Ready to get back hours in your day and earn your coworkers' applause? Sync your calendar and set up your next meeting in less than 2 minutes. Sync my calendar fast. Here's to never sorting through a million emails. Gabrielle, CEO. When I was planning out season one, I didn't even think to include this email as one of my solo episodes because I've talked about it so much that I figured I would bore you all. But even if you have heard me talk about it, and if you haven't, it means you need to go on a little email swipes binge fest, I haven't talked about its creation at all. So let's go. This series of emails was the first behavioral email flow I've ever worked on. This is so hard for me to believe because now I barely ever work on sequential flows for SaaS. They're nearly all behavioral. And wow, you should have seen how we presented it. Talk about embarrassing. We sent over an ugly doc table of if this, then that. It was so ugly and also really confusing. Now we go whimsical flowcharts all the way with a walkthrough video. By the way, you get our whimsical template included in the SaaS Success Pack, which you can check out in the show notes. It's a huge time saver. Not to mention that it makes it really easy to plan things strategically because all the steps are laid out for you. But I digress. I do believe a big part of what made the Doodle emails so successful wasn't just the copy, but was the fact that they were behavioral. We'll get into that more when we talk through the results. First, let's talk about the overall sequence and goals. Doodle is a Calendly alternative. Doodle actually predated Calendly. I'm pretty sure they were the first multi-person meeting scheduler. And it was pretty popular in the B2C space. People used it to find a good time for parties or events. The first time I saw one was for an informal high school reunion when a bunch of us were back in town for the holidays. Like most apps back in the day, before subscription pricing became the default, Doodle made money by displaying ads next to the scheduling polls. And then they introduced pricing plans. The first was more for personal use. It mostly just got rid of the ads. And the second was for business use. It had a much more developed and pro feature set. We were mostly focused on the business plan. It made more sense for businesses to invest in a paid plan. But we did also develop a variation of the email flow for the more personal use, lower tier plan too. The original onboarding emails were sequential, but they were also fairly standard. I went hard on voice, and the resultant emails were anything but standard. They're probably the most voicey SaaS emails I've ever written. There were a few others that came close, but the Doodle ones topped the charts. This particular email wasn't as intense on the voice because it came from the founder. It had to be in his voice, not in the brand voice. So why did we decide to go hard on voice? The research showed that people were really, really frustrated with the old school way of scheduling meetings. Basically, convoluted email chains with a whole lot of back and forth. It was a huge time suck, a huge mental drain, and a huge pain point. That's why we went hard on voice, because there was already so much personality there. There was so much emotion and so-called personality to the pain points. Not only was it already there, it also would have served as really nice comic relief to something that was really frustrating for people. The email change was where this particular email was born from. The subject line was re. Can we chat Monday morning? I was not trying to get opens based on that black hat practice of a re in a subject line, prompting people to open because they think you're in the middle of a conversation with them. I hate that practice. It's so dishonest. I was just playing with the idea of these endless email chains, and the preview text very clearly showed that. The preview text was something like, never get one of these kinds of emails again. What's interesting, though, is that we did have a decent number of people respond to the email saying that they could meet on Monday or they couldn't meet on Monday. They took the subject line at face value. I think a big part of this was that this was really at the beginning of the SaaS revolution. There wasn't this huge prevalence of free trials or onboarding emails, especially in this segment of the population, in non-marketing professions, and definitely not in the non-pro segment who were using it for their personal life. Another reflection of this was that we got a lot of complaints about the fact that we were sending too many emails. The standard onboarding flow was just not standard practice then. We're about to take an ad break, but I'm not just going to give you an ad that wants to sell you something. I'm going to give you an ad that, yes, will hopefully sell you something, but will also educate you on something email related. So don't go anywhere. If you want to start your own email list, I have an offer for you. Sign up to ConvertKit using the affiliate link you'll find in the show notes, and I'll give you a 30-minute consult free. Now, free consults are nice and all, but they're not exactly a reason to tie yourself to an email platform you're not in love with. So let me tell you why I think you should use ConvertKit to build your email list. ConvertKit calls themselves the only marketing platform built for creators by creators, and it's not just a cute slogan. They actually live up to this. There are countless examples of how they serve our particular niche better than anyone else, and it makes all the difference. Let me just give you one. Google just announced some new anti-spam sending requirements that threw the email world into a tizzy. And one of the recommendations to keep our emails out of spam was to verify your email sending domain. Sounds techie? Yeah, it was. It was another techie admin task that was really annoying to deal with. Most email platforms slapped up some help docs and called it a day. ConvertKit partnered with a software that did the job in the ConvertKit dashboard in a few clicks. It was so helpful and it was so proactive. They know we don't have IT teams. They know we have too many tasks on our plate. They know that tech can feel really overwhelming for a solopreneur. So they figured out a solution. That's just one tiny example. I could go on, but we've got to get back to our show. Meanwhile, if you're interested, head down to the show notes, check out the affiliate link, and earn yourself a free consult. But of course, the most standout feedback was about the tone. There were some harsh replies about the tone. But there was also a lot of positive feedback about the tone, and even more importantly, about the software and its capabilities that the emails informed them about, which led to a whole lot of conversions, 64% increase in paid conversions to be exact. That's quite a win. Still, anytime there's negative feedback, it is jarring. Our brains default to negative, so that is what stuck. Plus, there was one team member who was unhappy about the tone to begin with, so he took this as validation and scrapped all sorts of bits in the flow. Yes, even with an increasing paid conversions by 64%, he wasn't happy with it. Again, I do think a big part of the success of the emails was the fact that they were triggered by behavior. They were extremely relevant and timely, which means that they really helped people see how the software could be helping them with their particular struggle right in the moment. But again, people complained about the number of emails too, not just the tone. One of those two things was working really well, the tone and the frequency. Probably both of those two things were working really well. It's not fair to the brand to listen to an outlying group of customers, but we'll get into that in the takeaways. Looking back now, I do agree that the subject line deserved to be scrapped. Yes, my intention was not to mimic the fake re-practice, but at the end of the day, people just don't pay that much attention when they're checking their emails. They're not looking for nuance. So if that's the way people were experiencing it, that is valid, and that means it's not serving them or the brand. Thanks for joining me for Email Storytime. If you enjoyed today's story, give this podcast a review so email marketers like you can have more fun with email. See you next week when we dig into this story's takeaways.